Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
All prone to listening to that voice that tells us God doesn't love us, God's not with you. He might try to convince you even that you're not in God's will. You take a stand, you begin to trust the Lord, and things don't go well. And your mind starts to wander, and the enemy comes in and says, see, this cannot be God's will. It's not working out right. This is too difficult. Everyone's turning against you. And the doors, they're not wide open for you. So maybe this isn't the Lord. But see, the trials that we face, the difficulties, could be the sign that we are in the middle of God's will.
God loves you and desires that you live a life of contentment and purpose. Such a life can only be attained by living under God's will. The Holy Spirit will confirm to you and give you peace when you are in His will. Today, Pastor Troy reminds you that the enemy will try to make you believe that God doesn't love you and that you're not worthy. Stay firm and continue on the narrow path. Sometimes the going will get tough, even when you're in the middle of God's will. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
There can be a fine line between discipline and punishment, and many don't understand the difference. When you mention something like discipline, the discipline of the Lord, or you need to discipline your children, many jump back or stick up their hands and go, no, not that. Because their idea or concept of discipline is not discipline, it's wrath. Like mom or dad got so upset, finally, that they exploded onto the child, and they think that that's discipline. That's not discipline. That might be punishment, you know, but it's certainly not discipline. They can be very close, and punishment for something can be a form of discipline. What makes the difference is the motive and the intention. What do we expect from this? See, to just punish is to smack down because something was done. That was wrong. Do we have any hope for that? Or are we going to, you know, direct? Are we hoping that there's correction? Yeah, I hope they leave me alone. I hope they stop that. But discipline is methodical, and it has a focus, a purpose. There are lines drawn, and so there are consequences. There are punishments, but they're thought out, and they serve a purpose. That's discipline. Discipline can be pretty harsh, but it's thought out. You know, Jesus, when he fashioned the whip and he went into the temple, it wasn't lightly that he swung the whip. He wanted to let them know, and the others watching, and anyone who might get it, to understand this is not what the house of the Lord is about. There was correction, direction. Today we'll talk about the difference. We'll touch on the difference as we talk about the discipline of God. The author's been talking about running a race. And it's a race of faith that requires endurance. If you're going to run to win, run in such a way as to win. And I pray that that's a desire of our heart today, is to live out our lives and to walk the walk or run the race set before us, not just going, well, one day I'll get to heaven and thank God, but that we'll actually want to do everything God has for us, to jump every hurdle if we're in that hurdle race, to run every cross-country course that God wants us to run, and to run with endurance and to run to win. Because we have a long race ahead of us and not just this short sprint, the author wants to help his readers to understand that the pains or the difficult times that require endurance are not punishment, but they're actually part of the race. For one, being in a fallen world, we're going to run into difficult hurdles and difficult circumstances, but they're also just the natural part of the growing process of the Christian life. These pains, these trials, these things that come in and test us and test our endurance, they're difficult, but they're part of growing in the Lord and having a relationship, we'll talk about this a little bit in a moment too, with a heavenly Father. So, because God does discipline, and because God uses difficulties, and no discipline is something that we just appreciate and love at the moment, the author wants to give assurance also for God's love for us in the discipline, in the difficulties, by turning our attention to a few things: God's word, God's role, and God's results. If we remember those things in those times of discipline, it will help us to endure. So verse 3, we read, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." The first thing we'll consider is God's word reminds us of his love. God's word. We're all prone to listening to an enemy, Satan, the enemy, the flesh, listening to an enemy who likes to whisper into our ears something like, "See, God isn't going to take care of you. See, God isn't going to help you. He's not for you. You can't put your full trust in him. You've got to do certain things." We have an enemy who wants to keep us from trusting in the Lord and trusting in his goodness when bad things happen, and trusting in ourselves, or turning our back on God altogether, as we've seen when some individuals go through certain trials. Maybe they weren't grounded in the Lord. Maybe they didn't know things like what we're going to talk about today, but they shake their fists and they say, "I am done. I wanted health, wealth, wisdom, but this is what I get from the Lord and doing things his way, I'm out." And then they go off with a bitterness toward God and the things of God. They didn't know God. They wanted the good things that they heard about, but they didn't want a father. They didn't want the Lord. They didn't want to belong to the kingdom of heaven. They wanted a cosmic Santa Claus, maybe, but not the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So we're all prone to listening to that voice that tells us God doesn't love us. God's not with you. He might try to convince you even that you're not in God's will. You take a stand, you begin to trust the Lord, and things don't go well. And your mind starts to wander, and the enemy comes in and says, "See, this cannot be God's will. It's not working out right. This is too difficult. Everyone's turning against you. And the doors, they're not wide open for you. So maybe this isn't the Lord." But see, the trials that we face, the difficulties, could be the sign that we are in the middle of God's will. Because God tests us. God disciplines us. He causes us to exercise our faith and to learn to persevere with endurance. As soon as David was anointed, and he was a shepherd gaining great victories out in the fields, and life seemed to be pretty good, they left him alone. They didn't even call him in when they were going to anoint another king. until God said, no, there's another one, go get him. But after he was anointed, lots of things began to change. He got to serve with the king, but man, he got spears thrown at him and he was the object of hate. And then later on, when it looked more like, yeah, God's hand is with this guy, God's hand is with you, defeating the giant, then he had to run for his life. You say, man, surely I'm not in the Lord's will. This does not look like the Lord's will to me. And yet he was right in the middle of God's will. David had to remember God's word, God's promises, the character of God, that it is God who lifts up and puts down. Otherwise, he would have taken it upon himself. But he understood those truths. God wasn't punishing David. You know what he was doing with David? Equipping David. See, I've got some things down here for you, David, but not with this heart. You're a good kid, but I don't need a good kid here. I need a shepherd who's mature, who's growing, who's not considering himself, who learned to trust in me despite the obstacles. And so you're going to go to school. You may not want to go to school, but this is what I'm going to do with you. And if you want to do what I want, then you're going to go to school for it. It's free, money-wise, but it costs a lot in faith. Trusting God, holding on, enduring, responding the right way and not the wrong way in the things that come our way. He says, he gives us information, lest you become weary and discouraged, lest you want to give up. You ever felt like giving up? We feel like that in many areas of life. We want to give up on our marriages. We want to give up on the job. We want to give up in ministry. We just want to give up. And the enemy whispers into our ear and says, that would be the easiest thing. Let's just do it. Why keep it up? If you've ever run a long distance race, you know that there are times when your body says, enough. We don't have to keep this up. Now, you can actually continue to go. You really can, but your body starts to give certain pangs. I remember running as a kid, and you get that side pain, but the gym teacher doesn't stop. And you look around at the other kids, some of them are holding their side, but they're not stopping. You're like, well, they're human too. I guess I can keep it up.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
You keep going, and what you find is that after a while, it's like you work through it. You get like a second wind, like, wow, I'm good again. And you can go for it. That's physical. That's a physical race. But it happens spiritually as well. We can get to a point where we feel like I have no more. I'm tired. You get the pain right here. You got to keep running. And your coach, he's not stopped. He's not stopped running. He's not stopped going. In fact, he's enabling you to continue. But we are the ones who have a decision to make. See, it's at that point in a runner's heart and mind that they have to make a decision. Give in to this or go. And an experienced runner recognizes the second wind is coming. I'm going to push through it. But the inexperienced runner never gets past that. They stop. I know, I can't do it. I can't do it. You're able to keep going physically, but it's become now a matter of the heart and a matter of the will over the flesh. The flesh wants to tell you one thing. But there's another voice, if you would listen, in the Christian walk. It will tell you whether you can keep going or not. It will encourage you. Endurance is when everything inside you says, stop. We don't have to do this. We can quit. This is too much. You're not in it for this. But instead, you set your heart on the Lord. You don't listen to that weak flesh, those weak emotions. You don't listen to them, and you listen to the Lord, and you submit your will to His. You deny yourself, and you keep going anyway, trusting in the Lord. This is a battle fought by athletes all over the world, all the time, who want to win. It's the difference in those who win and those who don't. Those who make it to the race or the Olympics and those who don't, those who watch on TV. Pushing through it. The author's goal here is to help you and I fight against weariness and discouragement by helping us to understand a few things. So he points to God's word. Says, look at it. You know, it's the place that we should go when we're feeling in our walk discouraged and weary. Before you ever quit, spend time in God's word. And I don't mean 5 minutes. Open it, point to a passage and go, okay, good, read it, now I quit. I mean, you wait until God says, here's what's going on. We need to endure. Or, you know what? Yeah, the race is over. You're out, or you can't catch up. We need to take a break, get our breath, and re-enter the next time. Whatever God starts to speak. But until you hear from the Lord, never, ever quit. On a marriage, on a ministry, on anything. Seek the Lord. Turn to His word. And He points to two things that we find in God's word that will help us. Christ's life and God and Christ's love revolves around Him. Christ's life in verses 3 and 4. Let's read 3 and 4 again. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. A couple of things there when we look at Christ's life. Let Him inspire you. See, He endured hostility from sinners. He was perfect. He didn't deserve any of it. And yet He took it all upon Himself. So let that inspire you. He who calls you to live this way and to endure did it Himself. Be inspired by that and follow His example. And remember what He has done so that you don't become weary and discouraged yourself. But also let Him humble you. In verse 4, He says it could be worse. Right? You've not resisted to the point of bloodshed and death on the cross, right? No. I mean, think about the things that God asks you to do. Like, oh, Lord, that TV show He wants you to skip tonight because, oh, man, they're having a night of worship. Man, that's the finale, man. And I know, if I go, I know I could DVR it or whatever you do to save it, but somebody's going to text me. Somebody's going to do something and give it away. Man, I got to watch it live. I can't worship the Lord tonight. I got to worship this thing. And it's a sacrifice. It's hard. How does anyone do this? How does anyone give these things up? See, He's not asking you to go on the cross and take a beating and a crown of thorns and a mocking and a scourging and then to be nailed. And He's not asking that, but we feel like it. I remember as a teenager, just the word no to something I wanted was like a beating. No, we can't do that. Even if it was a good reason, no, we can't afford that. Then you don't love me. I can't believe this. You don't care at all. Like, yeah, you're not resisting to the point of bloodshed yet. We learn it as children, not to accept no. Parents, this is the lesson we teach our children when we always, always give in to them. And as they get older, are they going to change and understand? No, no. The demands become more expensive. That's all that happens. And then to hear a no, you've never said this before. You're going to say, no, this is the problem when you come to faith late and you begin to impose God's standards of rightness and righteousness, godliness in the home. This is one of the biggest battles, biggest hurdles, that test that causes parents want to quit, stop going to church, stop making the changes, because you're not dealing with toddlers now, little ones. You're dealing with kids that are going to be going out one day, and you don't want them to go out hating you, hating the Lord. I don't want to impose this stuff now. It's too late. And yet to introduce them to these things and to help them to see the good results we'll talk about later is one of the best things you can do for them. Because they're only going to be under your guidance for a certain amount of time. And after that, if you think they don't listen to you now. So look to Christ's life and let Him inspire you to keep going. And let Him humble you, because you haven't resisted to the point of bloodshed. But we also said, look at Christ's love as we find it in the Word. Verses 5 and 6, let's read that. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Now, scourging is not real light. Do not despise the chastening. Do not be discouraged by His rebuke. Why? Well, because whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son He receives. God loves you, and that's why He cares about the things that you do or don't do, or think or don't think. He loves you. He wouldn't be concerned at all. He would just turn you over to your own depraved thinking and let you take that downward spiral and then judge you at the end. But because He cares, He intervenes. Because He cares, He makes certain things a little more difficult to either build your endurance or to turn you away from something that's not for you. He loves you. That's why the chastening. That's why the discipline. That's why the rebuke. Verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, indeed, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But He, for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Second thing we'll consider is God's role reminds us of His love for us. The role of a father He wants to be. An active father. Not what we see often today, the absent father, but the father who's there, who wants to establish the guidelines and enforce for your own good. Fathers discipline their children. Fathers enforce in the home. Fathers who don't do that confuse their children.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.